Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. It's the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I'm Chris Elio. I'm filling in for the great Sean Carey, who is hosting on the morning show on 94KX this morning. So we gave him the day off so he doesn't have to spend 75 hours a day here. We're waiting on Mr. Jones to come into the Sunbury Motors studio. And as we do that, let me pass along some information for you. First and foremost, the Steve Jones Show right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK is brought to you by Purdy Insurance today. So go get your insurance needs met by the pros, by the ones that do it best, Purdy Insurance. Also, by Sunbury Motors Company, as always. And our phone number here, if you're interested in getting involved in the show and anything that we're going to talk about. And it's been a long weekend. A lot of things took place. I know he's going to kill me because, you know, being the Mets fan. And I'm going to shove the Mets down everybody's throat forever because, you know, I know it's a Philly station, so I got to do that. But the phone number here, if you want to get involved, is 1-800-795-9565. If you want to join the show and, you know, talk Philly's trash with me, by all means, I'm down. Or if you want to talk Penn State, or if you're an Ohio State fan and you want to talk Penn State trash to Steve, you can do that. But, speaking of NCAA football, and I know we're coming up on football season, starts, I believe, next week. As we're approaching high school football season starting this week, and then the week after it's college football, and then the week after it's like, or 2 weeks after that, it's NFL, and it's crazy. I can't believe it's almost fall already. But the AP Top 25 poll came out today, and I looked at it and I was annoyed because ho-hum, look at the top, it's Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, LSU, So then I started thinking to myself, geez, is anybody bored of college football yet? I mean, it's the same teams all the time. So I really started kind of personally in my own head, because nobody listens to me anyway, killing college football. And I was like, wow, this is just so dull. We're going to get Clemson and Alabama again. and it's just nonsense. But then I started looking at all the other major leagues in all the sports. And you know what? The frequency in which the same team wins, it's all the same through all the sports almost. It's almost the same. In the last 20 years, it's almost the same. 11 or 12 champions for the past 20 years in all the sports. So, I
boy, you sound depressed.
Oh, no, I'm not depressed. I'm actually surprised at myself that I actually did the research and admitted that I was wrong to myself. And now you all know.
I'm actually impressed that you did the research.
There you go. Yeah, no, I actually...
I didn't think you had it in you.
Welcome, Steve. Thank you for coming in.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Well, I'm going to be there on Wednesday.
Woohoo! Again?
Yeah.
I can see you twice in like 2 weeks after not meeting you for 2 years.
Well, I know. Well, we've got the event in Lewisburg that night.
Yes. Yeah.
You
know,
so you guys are going to have to put up with me being around.
That's all right, man. Buy you a round of shots.
I sort of have to drive back.
Oh,
so
come on.
No don't offense.
You're Steve Jones. You don't have somebody driving you around? Come on.
Oh, I don't have people drive me around, although it would be nice. I mean, and that's, you know, but no.
Hey, I mean, we can get in some trouble. I'll drive you home. It's all good.
I also want to get here safely.
Oh, you'll get there safely. I mean, I don't know what shape you'll be in, but you'll be safe.
I think we'll just kind of... try this my way and see how it goes.
Anyway, if I may just divulge, and I'll just go through this quickly. Out of the past 20 years, how many different champions do you think there's been in college football?
I mean, different?
Different.
Champions?
Different teams. Yeah, different whatever, franchises or organizations or whatever.
I would guess. I'd say six.
Actually, 11.
11?
11. Okay. 11 different schools, yeah.
So and I would think Texas has, USC has, Auburn has, Ohio State has, Alabama has, Clemson has, Florida State has. Those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, there was Florida and USC.
I said USC.
Oh, did you?
So. I said Texas. I said Florida State. I said Auburn. I said obviously Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. I've said, those are the ones that Florida played Ohio State. What happened to that was Ted Ginn ran the opening kickoff back for a touchdown. Then Ohio State got in the bus and left.
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much that's how it went down.
That didn't help.
No, it certainly did not. So then what do you think? So that falls number out of the top five that I picked. That was the fourth fewest. So what do you think, like, the most dominant, the most, dynasty-heavy league there is out of all the majors?
Most dynasty-heavy league of all the majors?
Yes, most repeats.
Most repeats. Yeah, obviously there are going to be people who are going to say that, you know, because of the Patriots, but I'd say the most repeats might be the NBA.
It is the NBA. Nine different teams out of the past 20 years. That's like very, very, it's like a lot of repeats.
Yeah it's I'm trying to think. Like baseball, the Red Sox have won 4 and the Giants have won 3.
Yep.
The Patriots have won 6 Super Bowls?
Yep.
In that period of time. Then after that, I would say the Broncos have they only won the 1 after Elway. So that Elway was 20 years ago.
That was over 20 years ago. That was 96, yeah. 97.
Yeah. After the Patriots? Jeez, who the heck's that? After
the
Patriots?
Steelers have won a few.
The Giants have won twice.
Right, the Giants have won twice.
Giants have won twice, and the Steelers have won twice.
Right.
In the NHL, NHL has had a pretty good spread, although the Penguins won 3 of them.
Yeah, they still only have 13 out of 20. So, I mean, they had the...
Yeah, the Penguins have won 3. I think Detroit in this period of time won a couple. So
and
did
you had
New
the
Jersey.
Blackhawks, too.
Right, the Blackhawks won 3 times, and the Kings won twice.
Yep. Yeah, so you had a few. But, yeah, the highest one is NHL with 13 out of 20. Major League Baseball and the NFL were 12. NCAA football was 11, and NBA is 9. So I was wrong. I was killing the NCAA in my the NCAA football in my head. For having, it's just Alabama and everybody, you know, just Alabama all the damn time.
Well, again, but see, this is why I go back to eras. You know, everybody wants to proclaim a best of all time, right? So you always get, and people love lists, and especially now with the NFL going into its 100th anniversary. So the NFL, not 100th anniversary, that's next year. This is the 100th season of the NFL, right? Next year is the 100th anniversary of it.
Right.
But this is the 100th season. So you're going to have a list. The 100 best quarterbacks, the 100 best teams, the 100 best running backs. It's always, you know, everybody's going to come up with a list, and that's just an opinion.
Of course.
I am a big proponent of, we are so deep now into the history of sports. And sports change. I'm more now into the best of a given era. For example, Nick Saban is the best head football coach of this era in college football.
Yeah.
Right? And there are a lot of things that have worked in his favor. The system has worked in his favor, for one thing. He did not have to go to the Sugar Bowl every single year.
Right.
And try and see if he can get a national championship out of that Sugar Bowl in a given year. He wasn't subject to the polls. He has gone through two seasons, for example, where he didn't even win his division but won a national championship. Well, years gone by, that there's no way in the planet his team plays for the national title.
Right, but on the flip side, there's challenges, right?
And he's also had more games he's had to play. He's right. had more minefields right. to jump through. He's right. had to beat a Georgia in an SEC championship game. He's had to beat a team in the semifinal, whether it's an Oklahoma or somebody like that, to get there. So it's been with multiple challenges. But yep. he's had within the system more opportunity to do it. How many semifinals, how many college football playoffs has Joe Paterno won in his career, if they have that system?
Zero. Oh, does he win? Oh, I don't know.
How many is Joe Paterno in if they have the
right,
same
right,
system?
Right, right, right. Probably a ton. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Joe had five undefeated seasons.
Right, right. No, okay? Absolutely.
Nick Saban doesn't have five undefeated seasons. Right? Right? He doesn't. Joe had five. Yeah, and the irony is, he had one year. He won the national championship with a loss. He had four undefeated seasons, no title.
Right. Yeah.
And I think there are two of them in particular that in 1969, had there been a playoff, in 1994, had there been a playoff, Penn State, it's just my opinion, would have won. Their defense was so good in 1969, nobody could play with that defense. Nobody. Okay. Yep. And in 1994, nobody could play with that offense. Nobody.
Yeah.
So you know, they lost. You know, Bear Bryant, best of his era.
Right.
But Bud Wilkinson, you can argue the best of his era.
Mm-hmm.
Newt Rockne, you can argue the best of his era. Everybody had their own different eras to deal with and their own different challenges. So while it's easy to say, Knicks won six. Or seven, or whatever the number is now. He's the best.
Right, right.
Well, numerically, you can make that claim, and it's very fair. Very fair. But I prefer eras because everybody had to deal with different challenges in different eras.
Well, and that goes for every sport. I mean, it's the same thing with every sport. Jordan LeBron thing. It's the, you know, even Babe Ruth, Barry Bonds, or whatever. I mean, you can throw everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why we have now had, instead of having, okay, when I was a kid and I first started following the NBA, at that point, when I was really starting to follow, was probably like 1964, 65, right around there. At that point, the NBA is 18 years old.
Right.
So you're looking to say, okay, who's the best, Russell or Chamberlain?
Bill Russell,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. No, but I'm saying, though, you'd have that kind of argument. Who's better, Russell or Chamberlain? I only have an 18-year sample size.
Right.
Now we're coming up on the 75th anniversary. We're coming up on the 75th year of the NBA, which is a couple of years away.
And not just that.
And now there's so many players.
Right.
Now you have
different
to start
styles.
Differentiating.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's how you play the game. Same thing in baseball. How you play the game. The challenges of a Cobb and Ruth are different than the challenges today. That's why I prefer to go with, you know, the best player of a given era.
I agree.
Now, is it safer? Sure, it's safer, but I think it's also far more logical, and I think it's a more intelligent way to go.
Oh, absolutely.
Than saying, I think he's the best ever. Okay, great. I'm glad you think he's the best ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why Sports Talk Radio exists.
Okay. Right. I mean, I'll give you an example. How would, let's take Barry Bonds. How would Barry Bonds effective would he have been on road trips where he took nothing but trains?
Yeah, I mean, that's things you don't even think about.
Right. He could have thrived and been great, or it could have been a detriment. We don't know. That's why it's different eras, different players.
I mean, I think it's easier to look backwards. Like in real life, other than a guy, like if you take the NBA, in real life, even when I started watching back in the Chicago Bulls days with Jordan,
sure.
Who was guarding LeBron James other than a center or someone or some power forward who doesn't have the speed? You know what I mean? Like, but on the flip side, in the 80s, you could annihilate a player and get away with it. You know, so it was completely different.
the rules are different now. In other words, in every sport, the rules are different.
Right.
Let's take hockey. How effective would certain players? How effective would Mike Bossy had a great career?
Sure.
Okay. Right winger, New York Islanders.
Yeah, absolutely.
How many more goals might he have scored if they had not had the two line pass? That you've got the stretch pass of today, where suddenly a guy like that on a stretch pass, and there he goes.
Or even Gretzky. Gretzky had to play in
Gretzky,
that era too.
Gretzky played in that era. So I mean, just that simple change that allows the two line pass might have changed the scoring numbers that we saw from players of way back when.
Even more
All
dramatically.
Right? So let's take the no contact they're trying to create in the NBA, or they're trying to get flow, passing, shooting. And I like that. To me, that's the way the game should be played. And as you pointed out, how many playoff games that we see in the late 80s and into the mid 90s where the playoff final was 83-79.
Yeah, where the Pistons and the Knicks were just murdering people under the basket.
Right, just mauling each other because that was allowed, that would never be allowed today. Let's go back to the NFL. What would the passing numbers of Unitas, Starr, and Namath have been if they had the contact rules that they put in play in 1978?
Right, or even now.
Where receivers were given far more free rein than they were given back then. So it is...
Think of like Montana or Marino dealing with today's rules.
Right.
That's crazy.
Now let's flip it. How would Breeze and Brady and those guys handle that era where receivers could be mugged all the way down the field?
Right. Would they have been as good? Truth.
And it also was an era... for example, where you wanted to run the football. Well, the numbers wouldn't be as great back then as they are now.
Right. Like Walter Payton wouldn't be as good today from a running standpoint, possibly, because he'd be catching more passes. So, because that's what the game calls for.
Right. So it's just different eras call for, you just can't do a play. The quarterbacks of yesterday. The quarterbacks of yesterday had different rules they were playing by.
Yeah.
Different styles, different way of playing the game compared to today. So you're going to get different numbers today that then skew what your thought process is as to who the greatest is. That's why you got to go by eras to me, because each era brings with it its own style, and its own style then brings with it who's the best of that particular era. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Right, we'll go to Philadelphia and talk with Matt Leon at 4:06 today about the Eagles and what he's seen from them, and also the McCown signing to be, at least for the moment, a backup quarterback.
Yeah, lured him away from retirement, huh?
Well, I mean, they needed to do something. Over and over you have seen, and regardless of obviously Carson Wentz, what's happened with him the last couple of years, almost every team needs to get a backup quarterback to at least fill the breach for a game or two. And with Sudfeld out, they needed to get somebody, and they did. At least McCown's been around the block, and you feel like if something were to happen to Wentz and you needed him for a week or two to fill the breach, he's the kind of guy that can fill the breach.
Agreed. As a Jets fan, I agree. So,
Jalen Hurts has been named the starting quarterback at Oklahoma. Tanner Mordecai, and then the true freshman that they really like and bears watching is Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma. There are a lot of people that think that if things aren't going smoothly, Rattler could take over at midseason.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by the great people, my golf partners, at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. How do you get to be a decades-old business? By doing it right. Yeah? Do you go out and find your customer the best insurance coverage? Yes. Do you then say, you know what, let's do what we can to find the best price? Yes. And if something happens, do you throw your heart and soul into making sure it is solved? Yes. That's Purdy Insurance. Great people who work hard for you. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Chris Elio is here today.
Indeed.
Chris,
what's
great
up?
To have you.
Thank you, sir. Great to have you.
Let's give you your Mets moment.
Oh, we're going to do it now?
No, you don't have to play it now.
Oh, okay.
But as a Mets fan,
okay,
to see Pete Alonso hit his 40th home run.
He did.
A rookie record. Your team is actually in the second half of the season, actually played some baseball.
They are the best. They have the best record in baseball since the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
Against nobody, but I mean, they've beat some teams, but yes, they have the best record in baseball.
You have to. I rarely discount who you're beating at a particular time, because I think you just have to go out and beat whomever's in front of you. Now, obviously, at some point, that includes teams that are comparable to you. That's then swings whether you get to the playoffs or not.
Right.
But as a Mets fan, you've got to be thrilled that they've taken what appeared for the first half of the season to be nothing and they've turned it into something.
Well, the fact of the matter is, a month, if you would have talked to me 5 or 6 weeks ago, we were 10 games under 500. And I was very much looking towards. I saw this even at the trade deadline. I saw the Stroman trade and saw it very much as this is a move for next year. We're looking towards next year. They kept saying the right things. We're going to try and win this year. Blah blah blah. And sure enough, it's what's happened. Now they've had the benefit of a soft schedule. I said the last time I was on last week that particular week was going to tell the story when they played the Nationals. Then they had to play the Braves. You know, and they finished 500 out of that stretch. So I can't argue with that. Then they beat up on the Royals for the most part over the weekend. They had a little speed bump on Friday, but this next stretch, they got the Indians, they got the Braves, they got the Cubs, they got the Nationals, they got the Phillies, they got the Nationals right. Again. That's the next five series. This is where
and now you find out whether you're ready for prime time.
This is it, man. This is it. This is the whole season.
Right.
So, the next 3 weeks is it. Yep. But a lot of it's at home, thankfully. So,
yeah. We mentioned Jalen Hurts named starting quarterback at Oklahoma. Justin Fields has been named the starting quarterback at Ohio State by Ryan Day. We'll at least pass that along to you. There's nothing on the Penn State quarterback spot. We'll see what James Franklin wants to do with that.
So on the AP poll, they're ranked number 15. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Does that sound about right to you?
I guess. I mean, that's fine. Yeah, you then will go through and get a body of work, and then when the first college football playoff poll comes out, the AP poll and the coaches' polls now are just, to me, bring with them interest. Number 4 plays number 11. Number 22 plays number 10. So it's good for, you know, the thought process of excitement around the game. The reality is that first weekend in November, right, is the time that they sit down and the College Football Playoff Committee then starts ranking. Now it gets to be serious. It's not that the AP poll and the coaches poll aren't serious. They're just nice gauges that create a lot of interest in football. They don't determine the national champion.
Right. They don't really matter per se anymore.
In the end, it's just like the college basketball poll.
Gotcha.
Every week the AP poll comes out, and every week the coaches poll comes out. Duke's number 1. Wake Forest is 22. You know, Michigan State's 3. But there's a committee that determines who the 37 at-large bids are. Well, at that point, then you have a tournament where Mercer can beat Duke, Lehigh can beat Duke.
And so now I'm going to claim ignorance here, especially when it comes to the NCAA basketball. The top 25 always makes it, though, right? Like, has there ever been a team ranked in the top 25 that didn't make the tournament?
Sure.
So at the end of the year, there's a team who's ranked number 22 or 25 or whatever, and they just didn't make it.
If they happen to be in a one-bid conference and didn't win the tournament.
Wow.
I mean, that can happen.
So I always assume that if you're in the top 25, you're in.
That's just a vote.
Huh.
If you're in a one-bid conference, then say you're in the West Coast Conference, for example, and it's like the way and things have played out in a certain way, you may be ranked 24 and you're not going to get in.
Boy, that's got to be rough.
Well, but again, let's take Bucknell, for example. Bucknell's had a really good program. But Bucknell's in a one big conference. I mean, Bucknell, with all due respect, Bucknell could go, they have 18 conference games. Bucknell could go 0-13 in the non-conference and be in the NCAA tournament. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's because if they go 0-13 and then they go to the Patriot and they're 16-2 and the number one seed, they go in, win 3 games, they're in.
Right, but that's what I mean. Like, you can be like that team that has dominated the Patriot League all year long and you're ranked number 19 or something. And then you just have a bad night against a team that's just barely getting by in the same conference. I mean, in the same the same conference. And then all of a sudden, you're done. You're just done.
Let me give you one.
That's sad.
Let me give you one. It was a couple of years ago. Monmouth had a phenomenal non-conference. They beat several name brand teams and didn't win the tournament. They went to the NIT.
Ugh. I feel that pain. That's terrible.
That's, again, the problem the one-bid leagues have is this. Once you start playing league games, and I say this with all due respect, but think of it from a Power 5 point of view. Let's say Penn State versus Bucknell. On schedules. If Penn State is playing a schedule in January and February, that is Navy, Colgate, Lafayette, Lehigh, Holy Cross, right? The fans are looking around like, what are we doing here? Okay. Penn State instead is playing Ohio State, Michigan State,
right,
Wisconsin. It's like you're playing, you know, from January to the early part of March, Michigan. I mean, this is who you're playing. You're playing Iowa. Where if Iowa suddenly showed up on Bucknell's schedule in February, Soika would be packed to the rim.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Couldn't sell enough tickets.
Right.
Right, because, oh, man, Iowa's coming in. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Michigan State's going to play here. What? holy mackerel, are you kidding me? I mean, people in Lewisburg be falling down left and right to get tickets to see it. But, you know, it's the equivalent of when Penn State came in and wrestled Bucknell. You could not find a ticket anywhere to go.
But if Bucknell goes and beats Ohio State and then loses their tournament because they had a bad shooting night, that's really sad that they wouldn't make the tournament. Like, they go through all this trouble to, like, get the upset.
But my point is, you don't have the strength of schedule at Bucknell that the strength of schedule is for a Big Ten team. You just don't.
Right.
No, I mean, you're not being asked to go out. You can go out, and Bucknell's a really good program, okay? Really good. But Bucknell is, if they go out and they beat, remember the NIT a couple of years ago, they went to Arizona and they won?
Mm-hmm.
Right, you can do that in a one-off, right? Where you've got that boom, and you've got a really good team, and you can go into the other. And that game was in Tucson, it was at the McHale Center, and Bucknell won. When you've got one shot, you can pull off one shot. The problem is that, let's say they play Ohio State, and you win the game. The next game is Michigan State. Wait a minute. You got to do it again. And then after Michigan State, oh, geez, now I got to go to Colson. I got to play Wisconsin. You got to do it again.
Yeah.
And then you got to go down to Maryland, and you got to do it again.
It's about consistency.
And then, but see, what happens, you keep facing all these other prospective NCAA tournament teams instead of, and again, with all due respect, instead of playing Boston University and Loyola.
Right.
Which are really good, but let's face it, there isn't a person on the planet that thinks they're in the same realm as Michigan State and Michigan.
Right, right.
It's just not the same talent. And the problem is when you play in the Big Ten, you're playing that almost every single night. And so that's why you have one bid conferences, because. And why the big conferences are multi-bid, because guess what? You have to go through that minefield. Doesn't mean that the Patriot is not a really difficult task. It is. But you'd be foolish not to think that the depth of talent in the Big Ten and the depth of quality team in the Big Ten is not greater than the Patriot. A Patriot team can beat a Big Ten team. There's absolutely no question about that. But can you beat 10 of them?
Right. Right.
Right? In other words, can you win 10 of them? I mean, Penn State won the NIT 2 years ago, and they went, I think they were, what, 8-10, 9-9 in the Big Ten? I think they were 9-9 in the Big Ten. They went 9 conference games. Didn't make the big tournament, but they won 9 games in conference. Then they won 2 in the tournament. So Penn State played 21 Big Ten games that year and won 11 of them. Okay, won 11. Okay, what Bucknell does every year is incredible. Right? Incredible. But anybody in the Patriot would tell you that, look, to win 11 Big Ten games, right, here's your roster, the roster you currently have at Lehigh. Can you win 11 Big Ten games?
Yeah.
The answer is going to be no.
Probably not. Yeah, I mean.
Right. The answer is going to be no.
Unless you have one dynamic player, you know.
Now, can you win a game? Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Can you maybe win 3 or 4 games? Yeah. Hmm. Can you win 8 games? No. Can you win 10 games? No.
I've always thought
that's the problem.
I've always thought that, like, instead of having to pick your own, like, out of conference schedule or whatever, they should do something like what they do in baseball, where, you know, with the interleague thing, where, you know, like this year the National League East is playing the American League Central. So why not make, like, the Big Ten play the Patriot League and give them a shot, you know?
The Big Ten actually did enter into an agreement with the Pac-12. A verbal agreement with the
Pac-12.
That's
two Power Fives. I'm talking about to give the middling conferences a chance.
Okay, but guess what? What do the Power Five schools need? They need attendance.
Yeah.
No. Okay. fans complained enough about, oh, you're going to play Colgate?
Yeah.
Even though Colgate's a really good team.
Yeah, and they don't play that long of a schedule, yeah.
Right. Colgate's a really good team, right? But for me to look at the fan base and say, you know, Colgate's really good, what are they going to do? They're going to look at you and go, please, cut me a break.
Right.
Right? So basketball already does a better job of promoting as many games as possible than college football does.
Oh, well, yeah, definitely.
And here's the reason. The Big Ten has the ACC Challenge. Right? The Big Ten also has an agreement to do what's called the Gavitt Games, a Big East Challenge. Okay. You have made-for-TV games. You also have, for example, tournaments. So Penn State's going to play in the Barclays Center tournament, which, by the way, includes Bucknell. Bucknell's in it. Penn State's going to play the mirror on the 19th. But then when they go to the Barclays Center, Penn State's playing Ole Miss, and the other half of the bracket is Syracuse and Oklahoma State.
Right.
So college basketball does a better job of made-for-event non-conference games because they're looking to somehow build interest in it.
Absolutely.
I talked to Jim Delaney about this a couple of years ago, and you notice the Big Ten takes football championship weekend, and they start playing conference games. So there's one home and one away conference game on that particular weekend. You know, it might be a Friday, Sunday, might be a Saturday, Tuesday, but right around there. Because they're trying to find ways to get more interest going. And the interest is going to be, you know, Bucknell might be better, for example, than Alabama. Penn State's playing both of them this year. Okay, Bucknell might be better than Wake Forest. Okay, I'll give you one. Bucknell might be better than Wake Forest. Bucknell, by the way, is going to draw really well here because there are going to be a lot of people from Lewisburg that are going to come here. So attendance-wise, it's going to be really great. But if you pull the average fan aside and say, hey, by the way, Wake Forest is coming here and Bucknell's coming here, most of them are going to say, really, Wake Forest is coming here?
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely.
Right? Even though Bucknell's might be a better basketball team than Wake Forest.
I mean, Wake Forest...
It's name brand. Name brand
absolutely
means something.
And for basketball, it makes perfect sense because, like, I don't even know where Wake Forest is, but I know about the basketball team.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And they're in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Mayock said, look, there comes a point for Antonio Brown where you're all in or you're all out. There does get to a point where it is, you know, oh, my helmet, whatever, and then that helmet doesn't look. It's just, look, you're being paid to play. Go play. You're being paid to go practice. Practice. And Mike Mayock's right. There's a time where you have to be all in and all out. You can't be selective about this.
Well, and everything he does just makes the Steelers look brilliant.
And then there's Zeke Elliott. And Jerry Jones says, you know, they asked him about Elliott the other day, and he said, who?
Who?
Now Elliott's, that was so disrespectful. You know, not being there is disrespectful.
No, that's a balls move by Jones.
Okay, here's one that should be understood. Zeke Elliott has a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's the one not honoring the contract.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right? Now, does he deserve more money? Well, on a relative scale, and then, you know, again, relative scale, because I'm not going to talk to the factory worker here in Northumberland, okay?
Right.
And say, so on a relative scale, yes. And at some point they'll come to it. But, you know, what about Zeke Elliott? Who? I mean, he's not there.
I mean,
that's the old Chuck Knoll.
Yep.
You would never talk about anybody who wasn't there.
I'd be the first person to take a billionaire out back and give him a beating. But on this one, Jerry Jones deserves respect on this one. I mean, he's right. The dude's got a contract. You need to be there. Same thing with Melvin Gordon. Same thing with Le'Veon Bell last year, even though it worked out for my team. But these guys need to be there.
Melvin Gordon, right, has been a good player in the NFL. Melvin Gordon absolutely has not been a great player. He has been a good player in the NFL. For some reason, what he thinks his value is, based on what I think his value happens to be, are in two different worlds.
Absolutely.
Again, do I think Melvin Gordon is a good football player? Yes. Do I think he's a great football player? No. Get to camp.
Absolutely.
He's played one full season in his entire career of 16 games. He has one 1,000-yard season. Okay. I can see why you're holding out.